Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Philly, thank you for another weekend of great shows. Austin, Texas, headed your way September 2nd and 3rd. That's Labor Day weekend. Vancouver, September 15th through the 17th. And Edmonton, I'll be back up there September 29th through October 1st. Get your tickets to those shows and all shows on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to thank you guys for your support of the show. If you are watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, please. It's a free way to help the show. It really does make a difference for us, all right? If you gotta have more, and I don't blame you, check out the Patreon. It's called the Honeydew with y'all, and I'm highlighting the lowlights with y'all. Your stories are, there's nobody that can hang with these goddamn stories. Every week, my mind is blown. It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free. You're getting Honeydew a day early. You're getting it ad-free, and you're getting it at no additional cost. All right? If you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. All right. Now, the Night Pants Nation tour continues to roll on. Thank you guys for your support. We're out there killing it. I love seeing your faces. In August 5th through the 7th, I'll be at the La Jolla Comedy Store. August 18th through the 20th, I'm in Philadelphia. And September 2nd and 3rd, I'm down in Austin for Labor Day weekend. So get your tickets to those shows and all shows on my website at ryansickler.com. Now, you guys know what we do over here. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. We are highlighting the lowlights. And today I'm very excited to have this guest. First time here on the Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Fahim Atwar. Welcome to the Honeydew.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Of course. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into what we are going to talk about today, please plug, promote all of it.
All that?
I guess.
The biggest thing is the special that I just put out on my YouTube channel called Hat Trick. I filmed it at the Comedy Store, so I do all three rooms. I did it myself, just in the era of, you know, comedians taking it, the ownership back and just sort of not waiting for Hollywood to give you permission to do the thing you know you can do. So I directed it, I self-financed it, and it came out just really the way I'm so proud of it, and I just want people to catch it. So it's called Hat Trick. It's at youtube.com/FahimAtwar.
All right.
And then socials and all that stuff. But Hat Trick is the big one. That's all I care about.
All right. Well, I ask everyone to send me what they want to talk about before, and yours already struck a chord with me because it was about your grandmom. Mm. So before we talk about her, I mean, what we're going to talk about, tell me a little bit about you. You're originally from Seattle?
Yeah, from Seattle.
Tell me a little bit about your family background and what sort of role she played in that.
So... yeah, from Seattle. My parents are from Afghanistan. Mom and dad from Afghanistan. And then, you know, they came over here. I was born in Seattle. And my grandma lived in Seattle as well. And it was tough because, like, she was a fixture of my life and everything. But there is this language barrier. So it's almost like you're missing an entire facet of communication. And
She's from Afghanistan.
Yeah, Afghanistan.
Came as well.
And her English got so, like, it got good to a point, you know? But at a certain age, it's kind of hard to pick it up. So that was just something that always tore at me too, because me and my brother never really learned the language either.
Whose mom is this? Your dad or your
mom's? My mom's mom.
Okay.
Because like other kids our age and stuff, and like, you know, our cousins and stuff, they speak Farsi a lot better than me and my brother. And I was kind of envious. I wish that we were able to speak it as well too, because then I would be able to have an even deeper relationship with my grandma other than like pleasantries. You would do like boilerplate stuff when she would come over, and we would like hug and be like, salam, you know, it's almost like a script, you know, but that's all I knew or had as an entry point to my grandma. I would hug her and stuff like that. But like, I couldn't get into the nuances of what happened at school. Or my mom would kind of be a translator a bit, and that would help. But yeah, it was just tough in that regard. And I think part of the reason, I mean, what I always hear from my parents as to why we didn't really learn Farsi is because my brother spoke kind of late, like he wasn't speaking in his development. And like, he should have been speaking by a certain point. And then the doctor said, oh, he must be confused by the two languages in the house, so you should probably just stick to English. Because like, it was more important for my brother to speak than to be bilingual. So my parents were just kind of worried. And so it was just English in the house. And then when I came along, everyone was just speaking English. So, and then my mom tried to teach it to us later, but then we just wanted to play outside for the summer and stuff. So it'd be like trying to do homework during the summertime where you just wanted to play. So it was harder when you're more stubborn and older. So yeah, so we just didn't have that common thread of language, which sucks.
So what connection did you have?
Just like...
Did you play games, checkers, chess, cards, anything to like sit around and just be around her?
Or? Just be around and like the energy and the calming energy of your grandma and stuff. And again, even having that script was nice, and knowing that she knows what salam is, and I know that at least. Yeah, and just she lived so long. Like 90 something. It's one of
those. Damn.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with Afghanistan, they didn't keep great calendars and stuff, or like, you don't even know the exact birthday.
So she could be 70.
Kind of, or like 200 or something.
200. Like, it's just, she's a vampire.
Because you're like, well, how old is BB John? And they're like, BB John, she might be.
Might be.
She might be 92 or 110. Like, we don't know. But she lived a long life, you know? And just having that as a fixture in your life. And I'm 38. Like, this is like the first time that I've kind of encountered death. So like, I'm very privileged in that regard. You know,
this is the first person major death in your life at 38.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, my grandpa passed away too, but I didn't see him as much.
How old were you when that happened?
I was younger. I was maybe like, like 16 or something, or yeah. But this, like, I saw BB John all the time, like almost every weekend.
This is something you really feel,
yeah,
and miss.
Yeah.
So she passed away when? Very recently.
Actually, Louis Anderson's, I think, shares the same.
Same day.
Like that same day. Yeah. She was a big Louis Anderson fan. So.
Are you being serious?
No. My grandma.
That's the only English she can speak are Louis Anderson
jokes.
Yeah, she loved
Coming to America. Yeah, it was just so
she's present your entire life.
Present my entire life.
And was she with it still at her age? Like, you know, what point, you know what I mean? Was she still there together?
No, towards the end, like pretty much, but she would kind of forget sometimes some things, and eating was a little harder towards the end too. And my mom would go more regularly to see her, you know.
Did you?
I would see her like maybe twice a year. I would go visit the Bay Area. I'm going to do that this weekend. My cousin's getting engaged. So like, I've always been up there and caught her. And yeah, it's going to be weird not seeing her this time around.
This will be the first time, huh?
Yeah.
Because she's at every one of these events, huh?
Yeah, or at somebody's house. Yeah. And like, you say hi to everybody. You say hi to BB John. We might all go to, you know, the grave and pay our respects and stuff, but it's going to be especially hard for my mom too, you know. Also, it's like the first time I've seen death that close up. I've been pretty shielded from it, or like death is a concept kind of, you know. But like, I don't I don't know how Americans do it, but this is kind of like, I've been on the sidelines of when like an Afghan person dies or whatever, but there's like an Islamic way of doing it. So,
which is what?
I mean, I'll tell you my experience. I only knew kind of like a little bit of stuff, but like when it happened, I was in it and I wasn't privy to like all the specifics of it until it happens to kind of like your nuclear family. So like you go to this masjid, which is like a mosque. So we all go there and the body's there in the back, and like you have to wash the body. Like there's a certain way of preparing the body before, there's like a set rules before you get buried. And so someone has to like, you know, prepare and like wash the body. And it's this woman who does that. That's just like her thing. And you don't really think about that person until it's affecting your life and your family. And you think, what a saint, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some people wouldn't be able to handle that. And it's somebody else's, it's not even their family, but something that they're doing, that's such a major thing, that I think like, God bless this lady who helped out with that. And I think the daughters helped as well. And there's no fancy coffins or anything. It's very minimalist. And it's in this box, this kind of like sturdy cardboard box. And it's such a mind fuck, like, because she has to be loaded onto the, I don't even know, like the fact that I'm explaining it, I'm like, am I saying, there's a lot of layers here. It's almost like therapy. Like, you ever remember The World's Greatest Magic on Fox back in the day?
Yes.
Where there's Valentino and he's giving away all these secrets,
all of them,
and he
yeah.
wears this mask and magicians are like, he shouldn't be saying those secrets. Like this, that's why I'm a little hesitant to this, because like, it's a dichotomy of like Afghan culture where it is all about appearances, and am I saying too much about my grandma? Should nobody know about this? But then it is my experience too, and there is something beautiful about it. I don't think what I'm doing is wrong, but that's always like a pressure, just like.
It's really interesting.
That, yeah, like no one should know about these
that
things.
That culture. You don't talk about this at all?
I mean, we experienced it.
I'm saying you don't talk to your dad or your brother or your mom, like the conversation we're having right now. You don't have that kind of talk about her or death like that?
No.
No?
Not really.
Because you're not supposed to, or just because you're not that kind of family? Because some dads are still out there with the, like, you know, pat you on the shoulder, don't cry, macho bullshit. Other ones are like me. I'm crying at commercials and fucking
sliding down
the sliding boards and shit.
It's not a spoken thing to like, don't do this or whatever, but like you kind of pick it up by actions and you just kind of know the way to like my dad doesn't say I love you, you know?
Like when you leave here, no one's going to shove a sword through your ass.
I know.
I love it,
Tim. Like, you know what you talked about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to get over it. So,
well, this is interesting to me. So you are battling with even talking about it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I don't know. Yeah. So preparing the body, washing it, put it in the box and all that. And then it's just such a mind fuck that we're waiting for the hearse. We're waiting for the hearse to come and then to load up. And that's fucking crazy to think about. Like load up. You know, my grandma or like a human being. And
dude, like, I'm right there with you. I've been a pallbearer so many fucking times. Like, I should get a free casket for real. I've carried so many motherfucking dead bodies, bro, to their hole.
Like, you're like,
through down the aisle in church.
You're like,
you put it on that little thing and wheel it, and you got to shove it into the fucking hearse. And I'll tell you something else. I'm going to tell you all this right now. If ever you have to carry a fucking dead body, and I'm talking coffin, not, you know, you just killed somebody, you gotta get rid of it, you're on your own with that. Get the fucking head end, okay? It's so much lighter. I promise you, that head end up there, you can take your time, the back end is, you're like, God damn.
You've done it so many times, you have techniques.
We fight to get that front spot, because that's the gravy right there. You want to take them and just glide them nice onto those rollers, like, God.
You see a younger,
because you got to pick it, you go, oh, shit. I made that mistake.
You see a younger kid, you're like, rookie. You'll get the hang of it. Stick with me. You're like Maverick.
Go fucking back
up. You're teaching the kids now. This guy's the best. He's helped so many.
Best. And so I just had this moment, like my cousin has also been a pallbearer with me every one of these funerals. And we've had so many of them. My dad, my grandmother, my aunts, cousins, so many fucking people have died. And one time it was me and my two brothers and my cousin and his brothers, the five of us and someone else. There were six total. And we had just finished having crabs. We're all sitting out in the back picnic table. And then my aunt said, hey, will you guys move the table back over? And silently, we lined up in fucking formation. And everybody grabbed that without one word being said. And we carried it. And everyone just started fucking. You could feel it going right through the whole circle of all of us. We were laughing out loud, like, dude, we've done this so many motherfucking times.
Doesn't it feel good?
We just grabbed that picnic table and moved it professionally.
To cut through something so.
Yes, and everyone, you could feel it was, what do they say, palpable. Yeah. You could feel that shit. I'm telling you, it was there. And not one word needed to be said. We just started dying laughing, like, man, we've carried a lot of motherfucking bodies to their holes. So I do understand. And you got to, when my dad died, the hearse was full. I had to sit up front with the.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
The driver. I don't know who the fuck this guy is.
You're doing like Uber 60. Small talk with the hearse driver. So is this the only one you got today? Or is this like a twofer? You're going to bounce around?
That's what we're doing.
It says your hearse is completing a trip nearby. Yo, what if you pitched that? It's like Uber hearse?
That's a good idea. You're about to retire a gazillionaire, dude.
It's a pool? There's like four other Uber hearse pool?
Yeah, that's great.
So she's... In,
so now
in
she's
the back
washed.
Area.
And can I ask you a question? Do you pick an outfit? Because we pick an outfit for that person to go off to wherever.
Oh,
do you wrap the body? Do you?
Yes. So it's like wrapped in this white cloth. Just everyone gets prepared
face
the
too?
Same way. Yeah. So it was like.
Like a cocoon.
Kind of. Yeah. And that was interesting because, again, I've been shielded from this part of life. Like death has always been just a concept. And when you're younger too, it's just such a far away thing. But then as you get older, you're faced with it a little more constant. And I'm pretty lucky that I fucking lasted 38 before I was faced with it like
that's
this.
That's a hell of a run.
It's a hell
bro.
Of a run.
It's a hell of a run.
And then, you know, my mom and like some of the other sisters were there with BB John near the back, you know, saying goodbye and the box was off and they're, you know, looking at her and they're crying and stuff. And me and my brother were just where everyone else is in the chairs, just kind of waiting for the hearse to come. And then my mom's crying and she's like, do you want to see BB John? And it's tough because it's almost like, it's like you're 13 years old in the woods and something like, yeah, that's my grandma. But then it's like a dead body too. And it's a lot to unpack. And like I like to shield myself from that type of stuff. I don't really like watching horror movies. It's fun for some people. I just don't like feeling a certain way. And like my gut says I don't want to see that, you know. But then it's something inside of me said like you need to see this. Like you can't hide from this. And then my mom's crying too, you know, and like. And I could tell like she kind of needed it too. Like that would have, like if I said no, to be that selfish and to be like, no, I don't want to see BB John. Like, I don't want to be that guy or she didn't raise me to be that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's this thing of like almost jumping off a cliff. Like I have to see, and I'm never going to see her again. And this is part of it. And like, as much as it feels weird and all this shit, it's a part of life and you can't put your head in the sand. Like I need to see BB John. So then, you know, I walk to the back and then they like uncover, and I look at her, and they're crying. And it's so, it's this other thing too, where like you're already feeling all these things, and then your mom, you don't want to see your mom, you know what I mean? Like that almost hurts more than what I'm dealing with on my own. Like mine is so minor compared to, like, that's her mom.
Her mom, yeah.
That's my grandma, but that's her mom.
The reason you both exist.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at my grandma, and she's covered in the white cloth, and it's like wrapped around the head. And
can I ask you, like, here we embalm the body and put all that bullshit in there. Do you guys do any of that, or is this?
No. Yeah, no. We don't put anything in there. And it was so bizarre because it's like I'm looking at a representation of my grandma. But it's not her. It is, but it isn't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I'm skipping ahead here, but it attaches to the thought. Like when they're lowering her, we're at the gravesite, and just me seeing her vessel, like the production and everything we're doing, it's like, it's for us. I don't know why maybe it seems so obvious, but it didn't hit me until then. Like everyone crying, everyone being together, everyone saying these words and like these prayers and stuff. And like, they're gone. Like we don't know what that is or where they are, but like the production of it all, we need it. We need it more than anybody. It's not for the person.
No, they don't even know what the fuck's going
on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they don't know
what's nice.
Going on.
It's nice to know that when you go, the people you love most will be affected that much and be doing that. But like logistically,
we'll never experience it.
We'll never. Yeah. It's just everyone there needs that. So that was interesting. Yeah. Just seeing like a receipt of a life, you know? Yeah, and an approximation of the person, because like their essence is gone.
Gone.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting, experiencing that firsthand. And you can't hide from that, you know, and that's going to be for all of us.
It's coming, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time is undefeated. Wins.
Undefeated. So what bothers you the most about it? Like, is that, have you started to really like think much more about life and death since this? Because this is just a few months ago, you're saying.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
what's it done to you in the last few months?
It just shows you that is, you can't put it off. You know, a lot of tasks and stuff in life, you can be like, oh, I'll get to it later. But that is the finality of everything. And it kind of helps you inform and reassess, what do you want out of life? What do you want? What's left to look like? So it did that. It shakes you up a little bit in that way. To juice the most out of what you do have on this earth.
Have you gotten a little closer to your mom or any, your brother or dad or anything?
I think I'm a little more open with my mom. We'll discuss things. My mom will talk about how she's feeling with Bibi John, and I'll listen and try to help her with that. Whenever somebody goes through something, you're a little more vulnerable and you get out of your programming of just doing the typical, hey, this is what's going on, blah, 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 bye. You know, she's going through a thing, so it's helped with that.
And are they all still up in Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did your grandma ever get to see you do stand-up?
No.
No? No? You never even tried to show it to her or anything like that?
I don't know. I wonder if maybe someone put it up on YouTube or something, and maybe she would just see me like flopping around on stage or something. And yeah, I don't know. Even if she saw it, I don't think she would understand, other than maybe the physical stuff. But I don't think she was super invested in my comedy career.
What was she like?
Just so sweet, like quintessential grandma. Like,
but did she have like, did she drive? Did she have her
she
own
didn't
friends?
Drive.
Did she have her own little
she had
community?
Some, what's interesting is even though, you know, your English may not be the best, sometimes there's other elderly people and there may be this language barrier, but
they can't hear. A lot of them can't hear.
Yeah. But I would go to her apartment complex and she would have these friends as well. And then she kind of picked up golf.
Oh, no shit.
She lived right next to this like golf course, this public golf course. And she got like a wedge and she would go out there, and I would love going and playing with her too.
Oh, just nice. Like you got to
hitting
do it
some
with
balls.
Her.
Yeah, we would go do some putts and stuff like that. I remember my mom would take her to doctor's appointments and stuff at the Everett Clinic, and they would have coffee out there. This is before Keurigs. All the kids, we used to have pots in the waiting room. And I was like, oh yeah, I love coffee. So she would like help me make these coffees and mix them half and half. And it was like the most delicious drink for me at the time.
The struggles we face with our mental health can loom large over our lives. Maybe yours, maybe someone you love. You've tried everything, or have you? MindBloom is the solution for the next chapter in mental health and well-being. MindBloom is the leader in at-home ketamine therapy, offering a combination of science-backed medicine with clinician and guide support for people looking to improve their mental health and well-being. MindBloom connects patients to licensed psychiatric clinicians to help them achieve better outcomes with lower cost, greater convenience, and an artfully crafted experience. To begin, take MindBloom's online assessment to determine if MindBloom is right for you. If approved, you'll schedule a video consult with a licensed clinician where you'll discuss your goals and expectations for mental health treatment. MindBloom will send you a kit in the mail complete with medicine, treatment materials, and tips for getting the most out of your experience. After only two sessions, 87% of MindBloom clients reported improvements in depression and 85% reported improvements in anxiety. Listen, I've been hearing about this for a while. It's been floating around out there, and I'm definitely going to try it. I was excited when MindBloom reached out, so I'm absolutely going to do this, and I will tell you how I feel after it. It's time to enter the next chapter in mental health and well-being. Let MindBloom guide you. Right now, MindBloom is offering my listeners $100 off your first six-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/honeydew. Go to mindbloom.com/honeydew for $100 off your first six-session program today. That's mindbloom.com/honeydew. When you use the bathroom, you always close the door behind you, right? I hope so. You don't want random passerbys looking in on you, so why would you let people look in on you when you go online? Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. Did you know that your internet service provider knows every single website you visit? And what's worse is they can sell this information to ad companies and tech giants who will use your data to target you. ExpressVPN puts a stop to this. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity can't be seen by anyone. I use ExpressVPN on all my devices. It works on everything, my phones, laptops, routers, so everyone who shares our Wi-Fi can still be protected even if they don't have ExpressVPN. And the best part is using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. You just fire up the app, you click one button, and you're protected. ExpressVPN is the world's number one rated VPN by Mashable, The Verge, and countless others. So if you're like me and believe your online activity is your business, secure yourself by visiting expressvpn.com/honeydew today. Use my exclusive link, expressvpn.com/honeydew, and you can get an extra 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do. And see, let me tell you something. Like, all my relatives, my grandmom was Italian and spoke Italian in the house, and I do wish we would have fucking learned it. I wish just to have that second language. But my dad, everybody spoke English. I understood everything they said all the time, and they're gone. And I'm going to tell you, it's not so much their words or vocabulary that resonates with me. It's that. It's, I went golfing with her. She showed me how to make these coffees. I don't remember what was said during those days, and I understood their language. So, but I do remember the feeling and the moment, you know, that experience with that person. I remember that. And I hear you on, you wish you would have been able to. I know you would have got to know her better, but still, even in that long run, what you're going to remember are those moments.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's like all we had. That was, actions are bigger than just small talk or whatever.
And how far was she from you?
She lived in the Bay Area. So
hour and a half flight?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, as sad as it is and everything, it is a textbook death, you know? Like, you could only hope to
go that
way.
Where was she when it happened?
Hospice, you know? And that's the thing is, when you're in your hospice,
don't come out of that.
Dude, I always think it's fucked up that hospital and hospice sound the same. So when you're getting the news, you know, like, hey, we're going to take you to hosp, and you think they're going to say it all, And they go, it's.
What a big difference. You're like, what?
Like, make the words different. Make, don't. Why are you left? They should be very different. Both words shouldn't start the same way. That's cruel.
It is cruel. Yeah. It's such a tease. Like, yes. Like, fuck. He said yes.
Is yeah. there is there the one person who got out of hospice and that's like, they should do like a biopic?
That's their story.
The Rudy?
The it's Rudy like, I'm, of I'm not, hospice yeah, care.
He just like, takes all the things off and everyone else is cheering him
stands
on.
Stands up like, out of the chair.
Yeah. Like, I say no to this place. And everyone else with the tubes are like, yeah.
I'm going back to the hospital, damn it. I'm not better, but I'm too good for this place. Oh shit. Yeah, I first experienced death. My very first experience seems like maybe it was a little bit like your grandfather's. It was my great grandmom, and she was Italian, first generation over here, and they had a parlor, and they lived in Tyrone, Pennsylvania, and they had a parlor in their house, like that old room, you know, they call the parlor, and they fucking laid her out in there. So my dad's like, we're going to say goodbye. And that's his grandmother, obviously. And I'm like, we're like, okay. And I don't know. I might have been in my daughter's age, 7, 8, somewhere around there. And we get there and I just remember all the people in the room. You know, you feel that somber energy. You know, you're not, you know, blind to that at any age. And I see the coffin and we're in the house. And there's a dead person like right there in the house, her house. I'm like, what a fucking, and I, as I get older, I'm still like, what a weird thing to experience in the house, you know? And then I remember, I don't know why it stuck with me. They gave me a Cookie Monster stuffed animal or whatever the hell is stuffy. And I slept with that. And that was sort of their like, you know, it's not too so scary. Bad. Yeah. I was like,
you get something
weird
out of it.
Not until I got older, because then the deaths kept coming quickly after that. My dad died when I was 16. My grandmother was a few years after that. My girl who was like my sister was a couple months after that. My other grandma was a couple months after that. I was like, bang, 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 bang. And all of them were very similar in the process of viewing. You go to a viewing first, you know, and they usually do two a night.
It's a comedy show. There's an early show and a late show.
Yeah, bro.
It's a two drink minimum.
You're gonna be there on Wednesday. We're gonna look at Fahim at 7 and 9. Okay, the family can come in at 6 to get
good
the
seats.
Shit out of their
good.
System first. Yeah, get the good seats and then be able to receive. You know, while this dead person's up here embalmed. From my experience, they don't look like they fucking looked. They look like a fucking swollen, you know, like you put a bunch of shit in them.
Is that commonplace to embalm? Is that like an American type?
I don't know if it's an American type, but it's definitely commonplace at all the funerals I've been to. And
it's
I would
Italian?
Say here, I don't know if it's Italian. I just think it's American. But I went to a lot of Catholic funerals. So it's always mass first. And then people get up and say whatever, and then it goes to the hole and you throw the fucking dirt and then they lower it and off you go. But it was 7 and 9, a viewing on Tuesday, and then another one on Wednesday at 7 and 9, and then Thursday would be the funeral. And then that's when, so it's a process, you know, and then you're going to the funeral and then that happens. And then you go to the wake, and that's where everybody has ham and cold cuts and tries to get a little laugh and a smoke and a drink and a lot of tears too. But you know, that's the little celebration of life, some punch and shit
yeah,
after that. Yeah.
I see.
But you find the cool kids at that and you go
yeah,
over there.
What's up? How you doing? Yeah. There was a moment, you know, when we're waiting for the hearse and it's all the masjid, the mosque. Because it's a mosque, there's prayers going on. Some of the family would go in and it's carpeted. You take your shoes off and you go in. And it's this thing because me and my brother were like adjacent. We didn't learn all the stuff, but we pick up some things. And then there's kind of this obligation, or you want to, I wish it was like the Matrix where I could just put like an aux cable in my brain and just know all the things that I'm supposed to do to give everything just to be good for this moment, you know? Because the cousins and stuff who know the stuff, they go in and they take their shoes off and they know all the prayers and there's the call to prayer and stuff and they know the timing of all because it's like choreographed. It's, and me and my brother are in there because everyone else did. It would be weird if we're just, it seems like maybe we don't care, but the thing is we don't know the stuff. So we go in as well. And it's one of those things where you just, it's like, we don't know. We're like looking over for the crouching and the bending over and the hands and all that, doing an approximation of the prayers. Just, yeah, it's like trying to dance and not knowing how to dance, you know?
So, yeah, I do. There's a lot of movement in the Catholic Church growing up, and I never knew when to sit, kneel, stand.
Yes. Okay.
I didn't know the words. There, I'm like, what is this? What are you all saying back to this guy right now?
Yeah. So you're in church the whole time.
And it's also with you. I would just try. Yeah. Well, we're kneeling now.
Your peripheral vision probably got great.
Sit on the edge of the pew too, so I didn't have to kneel. I'm like, this other thing doesn't even have pads on it, man. Where's all this money we're donating this church?
Where's it going?
Has your grandmother's death made you think you've been shielded? I'm saying 38 is a phenomenal run, bro. Forget about your death for a moment. Have you thought more about your parents gone? Are your parents still together?
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Have you thought more about their passing?
Yeah, because, you know, it's a progression of things. And how I'm going to handle it and... It makes life, these things that are concepts are realities now, you know, more and more. And maybe it's trying to have more with my parents than I did before. Like, it's not like we've had a terrible relationship or anything, but it can get very one note or you get into a rhythm. Whereas I have an opportunity to have a deeper relationship with them. With this new knowledge and stuff or faced with it. I mean, it sounds dumb, like new knowledge. Like, how do you not know this? But it's different when you're confronted with it. Even my dad, like me and my mom have had pretty good relationship. Like I've been a mama's boy and I've been able to talk to her and she's shown me love my whole life. And she'll say, I love you. And I know my dad loves me, but he doesn't explicitly say, I love you. I don't need that from him or anything, but it's just more like fatherly,
But it seems like it goes back to that whole, you don't talk about this, kind you don't share of. Your business, you keep your feelings to yourself,
yeah, like,
don't show weakness.
Kind of. And then I remember when I moved to LA, I packed up the Toyota Corolla and I'm saying bye. So I'm saying bye, my mom's a wreck and all that. And then my dad, he just kind of like quickly went to the bathroom because he was crying, you know?
Yeah.
And then like after he was done or whatever, then he came out and... But it's one of those things where it's so interesting to me that everyone knows, like, you know, everyone knows what's happening, but it's still preferable to do it behind closed doors in a bathroom than, you know, in person. And that's rubbed off on me. Like, whether I like it or not, I have that. And I'm trying to...
Break that cycle.
I'm trying to be somewhere in between my dad and my mom, you know? And then, like, I would talk to my phone or my mom a lot on the phone, and then my dad not so much because he's so old school. He didn't have a cell phone or anything, and every now and then I would call my dad just to catch up. But he and then when he finally got a cell phone, he got a pay-as-you-go cell phone.
Did he really?
Because he's so about value and stuff and money and that. I wouldn't be able to get a hold of him all because his cell phone, it was just pay as you go and he wouldn't want to burn minutes and stuff. So, and it would never be on because he would power it off. He wanted to conserve energy and all this. So I would get little touchstones of talking to my dad. But my dad got an iPhone maybe a few months ago or like a year ago. And we talk way more. And had I known this, I would have just fucking bought him an iPhone 5 years ago or 6 years ago. Just to be able to, like, because it's so easy, you know, it's unlimited minutes. He'll send a text. He's almost like a 13. Like, I can talk to my dad a lot more. Whereas before, it was more of a production and just like, if it's done a certain way, you don't really break out of it, you know?
Because
I would talk to my mom and then, like, you want to talk to your dad? Hi, dad, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. But that'd be maybe once every 3 weeks or something. And my mom would be like, you know, two times a week. Yeah. So that's been great. Just the fact that my dad and I have a more open relationship just because he got an iPhone.
Technology.
And also I'm further along in my career now, whereas that was such a sticking point for so long because we were like Professor Xavier and Magneto. Just in, like, there's a love there, but we're diametrically opposed as to what you should be doing with your life and career. Because comedy was not something that I should be doing. And like, we would fight over that. And I should, like, I so much wasted potential.
Really? You would get that?
Yeah. Like, I should be a doctor. I should be, because I could.
What's your brother do?
He's a dentist.
So he did something they approve of. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sort of grateful for my brother to have, all right, he's the winning horse. I'm the second child. I can be a little more of a loose cannon.
Does he do your teeth?
Yeah, he does help me out. Like, I get cleanings here in LA, but if I need like an impression or I need a retainer or something.
You're bouncing up.
Come on,
to
I got a
bro.
Yeah, exactly. All right, good. I get to visit my bro, get some free dental work.
Where is he? Up there as well?
Yeah. Okay. He's up there.
Does your mom and dad go to him?
Yeah.
All right. I was going to say, guy. You better be proud of him. Look, we're proud of him, but not his work. You know what I'm saying?
He's great. He's like, we're so proud of our son. His work's very good. I think he has pictures online that you could check out. No, I've always talked like this. Just proud of your son, but ashamed of his dental work. Yeah. If you call his office,
so proud.
He has so many bookings. He'll come to you.
So many open.
He'll come to you. You know, like a fix a windshield thing? He's a mobile dentist.
Here's another one. Uber dentist. Uber hearse, bro.
Yeah, you just have a cubicle job and the dentist has a toolbox and you're like
Yo, I had this idea.
It's a great idea. You can do that cleaning from anywhere.
Yo, I'm a dentist. I come to you. You're a busy guy.
Oh, God.
Do you need a root canal, but you don't want to take a long lunch? I'll come to you.
Oh, man, this episode's full of gazillion-dollar ideas.
I had another idea where you know how they have that like face opening when you're getting a massage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hole
so
there.
So while you're getting a massage, you have a dentist come under you. Like, you,
like a Jiffy Lube, like a Jiffy Lube.
So, so it's a two for one. So you're like, so it's pleasure on the back and just insane pain in your face.
Yeah.
So you're like, ooh, yeah. Ah,
oh, God damn. That is good. That's two for one right there. He's on the creeper underneath there.
And he's in like that full overall thing. Just blood all over him. And then when you're done, he's just like, all right, so you're going to want to brush more.
You definitely need to floss.
This is the tartar. I hooked you up with some fluoride.
Doing x-rays under there. Yeah.
I want you back in 6 months.
Dude, that's good.
So we were at odds.
So he's
over
a dentist. You were at odds.
And I did, you know, my parents were supportive of me.
What
doing,
did your dad? I never asked.
He's an engineer.
Okay, what about mom?
She was a nurse and then now she switched over to hair a few years ago and likes it a lot more. But like they supported when I did drama and I would do they were very supportive when it was just kind of like a thing you did at school. But then once I started doing stand up and it looked like, oh, he may want to do this more or maybe have it be a career. That's when it was kind of like, what are you doing? And especially my dad, because it's kind of a shameful thing. I think there's a way of thinking about it, like, what will people think? And he would always say this thing. He would say, people should be entertaining you. Kind of like it's beneath, rather than I'm compelled to do this thing and maybe I have these ideas and it's an expression of me, it's less about that and more like, oh, it's this low thing. And you should be the person who goes to be entertained, not the clown.
The court jester and the clown. Yeah. I don't know, man. I hear what your dad's saying when it comes to hierarchy of things. But for me, laughter coming back immediately, like these are different. This podcast will come out in a couple weeks, whatever. The rush of stand-up for me is the immediate fucking – adrenaline, mm-hmm. you know, right in the fucking vein. Good or bad, you're getting a response immediately. And the laughter back is, I feel like they're entertaining me.
Yeah.
Because they literally are entertaining, sitting down, listening to my bullshit and laughing at it. So I just see it a different way. I agree with your dad. They should be entertaining us. And if we're doing our job, they are.
Yeah. I don't think my dad has that meta layer.
It's not a fucking, I hear you on that, but it's not a TED talk.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? They are entertaining us by getting the response out of that we want is an audible laugh. We don't want people to go, and then leave and go fucking invest in some portfolio, you know? Yeah. We're fucking, I just want to hear it now. See you later.
And I think, look, stand-up is an American thing. People can, you can wrap your head around it. It's this American art form and it's not outer spacey. But to an Afghan immigrant, it's more clear-cut with status.
Sure. So, I was going to ask if your dad had a favorite comedian.
You know what's bizarre? As much as he didn't want me doing stand-up and all that, he's like, I love Steve Martin.
He does, huh?
He loves, and it's pretty impressive to me because that is some pretty high IQ comedy taste for someone yes. who didn't want
From
me to
zero
do,
to that.
To, yeah. He's like, I love Dimitri Martin's earlier stuff.
Earlier stuff.
Like my dad's a comedy nerd or something. Second album, not so much, but first album. So yeah, he's it's one of those things I noticed about Afghan culture is just sort of, we appreciate art, but you don't want your kids to have any part of it. That's for us to consume, not to be a part of.
Got it.
But I think he's learning. What was kind of nice when we were at odds about this stuff over so many years is occasionally other Afghan families would be like, because I, you know, my career would progress and stuff, and mm-hmm. they'd be like, you must be so proud. And I don't think that's a thought that ever... I'm not trying to vilify, like, I love my dad so much, and I love my mom, and I love my parents, and, like, this is just talking about the journey, and we come from different cultures, and I understand it. Now that I'm older, because when I was 17 and we'd have these fights and stuff, it's, you got all these hormones and stuff, you think they just, you don't understand me, and I want to do this, why isn't that enough? But then you get older, and I understand.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Stand it. So I don't harbor resentment or anything. Like they did it. They came from a place of them wanting the best for me because they love me. They did it because they love me and they thought this was best for me at the time. But yeah, I like that he's getting to hear those things and like, oh, you must be so proud of your son and maybe realizing that comedy and the arts and stuff isn't just about status. It's not about just levels. You can kind of move culture a little bit.
Yeah.
Because.
Can help people.
Yeah. And even say the perception of Afghans in Afghanistan, we are portrayed a certain way on the news and TV. And if you ask an average American what they think about Afghanistan, that weighs in the balance a lot. You're bombarded with negative connotations about Afghans in Afghanistan. But then you have me and my success, and that's something you can point to, and it helps. Like, it's been nice to see the Afghan community kind of be like, bro, I love, it's so cool. I love that you're on Rogan. I love that you're doing these regular things and you're not just playing Afghan weddings and you're not just playing these niche, that you are breaking into the mainstream.
A change of season means longer days, better outdoor activities, and more ways to get healthier, including checking in on your health and wellness. With Everly Well, you can take action today by taking one of their at-home lab tests or by adding their vitamins and supplements into your daily routine. Everly Well is digital healthcare designed for you at an affordable and transparent price. With over 30 at-home lab tests, you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you to get the answers you need. I took the food sensitivity test, came back with ginger and I think one or two other things, but that's supposed to make you feel better. Ginger makes me feel worse. Honeydew for life, y'all. Everly Well also has high quality vitamins and supplements to support your overall health, including vitamin D3 and omega-3 fish oil. Here's how it works. Everly Well ships products straight to you with everything needed in one package. Simply collect your sample and use the included prepaid shipping label to mail your test back to a certified lab. Your physician-reviewed results get sent to your phone or device in just days. You can even share the results with your primary care physician. It's so simple. Over 1 million people have trusted Everly Well to support their health and wellness goals, and you should too. For listeners of the show, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/honeydew. That's everlywell.com/honeydew for 20% off your next at-home lab test. everlywell.com/honeydew. For all of your summer travels, whether you're going abroad or staying domestic and want to immerse yourself in the culture, now is the perfect time to start Babbel. Babbel is the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, there's still time to learn a new language before you reach your destination. I've been taking my Espanol, y'all. Muy bien. And I wish, I mean, I took Spanish in like 8th grade and then 9th and 10th, but it was so technical. I wasn't even getting English, all right? So now I'm learning my Espanol. And with Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson. So you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and your accent. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, listen to this. Save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/honeydew. That's babbel.com/honeydew for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life. Wait, Babbel, language por vida. Now, let's get back to the do.
You know, to have an Afghan do mainstream stuff, I think is great. And I think my dad is noticing that, like, oh, people are appreciative of this. And
has he had an I'm proud of you moment yet?
You know, that
what's the closest you got for him?
He'll ask me questions about, he'll be like, cause I got a nice car, you know, and then I bought a house. So there's a little life. He understands, life milestones.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was able to buy a house with funny money.
Yeah.
That is a real thing. You can't fake the funk on that. So I think he did some inventory there where, oh, wow, okay. Because it's in front of you. Before it was just sort of a me versus him thing. But that's in front of your face and you realize, okay, maybe it is working out. And maybe my views on this can change a bit or I can ease up, you know. Yeah, but there's no like I'm proud of you.
You haven't had the shoulder grab yet.
I know he is.
Yeah.
I know he is, though. He'll do these things where he's like, how's the car? Like, my dad's I love you is, how's the car doing?
The car.
How many miles? And you oil change, you're doing? I go, yeah. So talking about the car maintenance and also.
Has he seen you live?
Just the Apollo.
Oh, we're going to talk about that then. Yeah. No wonder. No wonder. He's like, you better reconsider. Before we get to the story about the Apollo, because I do want to end with a good laugh too. I want to ask, you're 38.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a dad? Do you want to bring life into this world?
I do. I'm not in a rush to, like, my clock is ticking. I need this right now. But I do see that for myself.
And this recent bout with death doesn't deter you from still wanting to do that?
What?
That be a dad, bring a child into this world?
I think it makes me want to do it more, just to remind you. It's twofold. I think maybe my grandma's passing and being confronted with death, that binary, and then also post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. I was 36 before the pandemic, and then on the other side of it, I'm 38. It doesn't seem like that much, but for some reason, 36 felt closer to 35, which felt closer to early 30s. And then 38's closer to 40, you know? And then your grandma passes away. And you think about the timeline of life and you go, okay, like the bus is almost pulling out. You got to think this way. You can't be a boy anymore. So if you really want these things out of life, now's the time to take some steps towards it. Not like I'm going to marry who I see the very next day, but you definitely have to have your thinking shifted and calibrated in that way. So yeah. Yeah, I think it makes me want it more. I was doing this bit where I'm like, I think I want to get married. And I go, if you're not, then you're just like a guy who fucks. like you're just a guy who fucks all the time, like until you die. I go, don't you want to see the rest of life? That's like playing Grand Theft Auto and just beating up hookers the whole time. Like, yo, there's other levels. There's other things you can do. You're like, nah, I'm just going to beat up hookers with a baseball bat. Like, you're just going to be a guy who fucks until he's 80 and then dies. You're just painting with red.
That's great. Your whole life, you're painting with red.
Yeah. You're like, no, I really like red. Red feels good for a millisecond. And then I'm sad afterwards. Mm-hmm. But that red for a millisecond. So, yeah, I think I do want that.
All right. I want to talk about this Apollo story because you had said before we were talking, before we recorded, that you had a story to tell me about the Apollo. And it makes me laugh that your father the whole time has been telling you you shouldn't be doing this shit. And this is the only show he went to see. So what happened?
I've told this a few times, but it is kind of formative. It was maybe I was a few months or a year into doing stand-up.
Oh, already at that.
Yeah, like, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
And so I was going to community college. I was going to Bellevue Community College, I think. So I'm in the cafeteria, and then I see this bulletin board for some flyer, and I go up to it, and it says, I had been doing stand-up for a little bit, you know. It says, Apollo Amateur Night on Tour. So I'm familiar with the Apollo, right? They're going to all the major cities and they're putting on a show. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I'll audition for this. The thing is, I was okay. When I first started, I was in a fucking train wreck. I had some jokes and like I was pretty okay out the gate.
How long is your set?
I think five. It was supposed to be five or seven.
And is it a bunch of people going?
So here's the process. I rip off the thing. Okay, I got it. So the auditions are at the Langston Hughes Performing Arts Center in Seattle. I go one day. And then there's a bunch of people just waiting to audition. Mostly black people. Like, I'm the only comedian as well.
You're the only comic for this?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Everyone I'm sitting next to, because everyone's like nervous and waiting to audition for the judges and stuff. They're all like, do ra mi, do re mi fa so. They're all practicing. One lady was singing, I Believe I Can Fly, under her breath. Just like, see me running, and I'm just going over my jokes. And so then I audition, and I do pretty well. Like, the producers, they genuinely like me. It wasn't like, oh, we'll throw him to the wolves. This guy's fucking terrible. They go, oh, that was great. That was great. Yeah. So I get selected, which is bonkers. I think out of 341 or 342 people, I got to do it. So it was at the Paramount Theater. And I think that's the biggest theater we have in Seattle. And I think this is it. So I invite everybody. This is such a moment, such a big stage, such a big show. I invite like all my friends from high school, some teachers come out. I invite my mom, you know, my family, and then, you know, cousins and aunts and stuff. So everyone comes and it's this packed theater. And then I remember I did a dress rehearsal. We did a dress rehearsal. And I opened up the set with some hip-hop stuff. I do some hip-hop stuff and then talk about being Afghan, I think, in the middle of it or after that. And then the producers were like, yeah, that's great, that's great. we think we, like, you should open with the Afghan stuff first.
They're telling you how to do your set?
I'm so young. Right. I don't, I go, oh, they're the producers. They know. I'm so green. I go, yeah, okay, I could do that. I just want to be a team player. I go, okay, I'll do that. So then it comes night of the actual show. I come out and then I start with the Afghan stuff. And I'm like, hey guys, like, my name is Fahim. It's an Afghan name, to be exact. And people are like, boo.
Nah. Hold on. You walk out and say that and you're literally being booed.
I'm literally up there for 6 seconds. Maybe 10 seconds.
And all you've done is introduce yourself.
Pretty much.
Where you're from.
I don't know. I'm so far away from it. I maybe I just know it was very short amount of time before the boo started coming in. So it may have genuinely been that I was terrible and it was just like bombing. But then it could also, it didn't help that I'm opening about talking about Afghan, like on the heels of 9/11. You know, that's not a great opener too. So I'm up there and there's like one boo, like boo, boo, boo. And then it's like an avalanche. It's like a snowball just picking up steam.
How big is that theater?
Like 4,000 people.
Oh, wow.
It's a stuff of nightmares. It's surreal.
I've been on those stages with Segura, so I can't imagine.
Imagine the highest highs.
I'm saying being booed by that amount.
You know how good you feel when you come off those Seguras?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine feeling the worst.
Even half of that crowd booing me would fucking make me be like, holy shit, all of them. That's what I'm saying.
So I'm up there like, woo, 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 woo. And it's getting louder and louder. And I always say the thing with comedy in the Apollo is you're done. You get one boo, you're done. With singing, you can hit a high note and be like, ah, and be like,
oh, and I get to, yeah.
You can kind of drown them out with the music. Can. Comedy, you're just like,
it's boo, silent, boo, your boo. Words.
Yeah. And then the siren goes off like,
nah, they're pulling you out.
Yeah. And
does
then
the clown come out?
Oh, he comes, but the clown comes out.
Isn't he a clown?
His smoke breaks over. He's like,
doesn't he hook you on the neck and pull you out though?
Well, here's the thing. I know how the Apollo works. I don't need to wait to get hooked. I get off on my own. I go,
good for you.
I'm not gonna get hooked.
Rub that stump again.
I'm not gonna help you with your hourly hook, man. You're not getting paid off of me. So you go, woo, all the booze and all that shit, and then I don't wait to get pulled. I leave. And then it's just so surreal to be, you know.
What do? You walk off and what? They have to sit there.
Here's the thing. So it feels like a dream. That is an experience that I don't think many people will ever have in their life. Maybe in the
You'll probably never again either.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Most likely.
Yeah, I think 20 years in the stand-up, that doesn't happen anymore. Get booed by 4,000 people. But there was this stairwell where I had to walk back up to the dressing room and shit. But there was this little desk there, you know, those L-shaped school with the basket underneath. It was there in the stairwell and I just sat in it. And I was just shell-shocked and trying to make sense of what happened. I go, was that a dream? Was that real? How does my life, what do I do now? So I just chilled there for 20 minutes, just trying to put your brain back together. And I go, okay, all right, I got to get my clothes from the dressing room.
And there's the mental illness in all of us right there. The worst thing that could ever happen to you, but so, I'm gonna go back out there and do it again.
That's what I learned. And for his horror, people be like, oh my god, what a terrible experience, and I would never do it again. And but for that to happen so early in my career, and the fact that I hit the stage a few days later, I was born to do this. Like, this is deep rooted. I can't help this. This is sort of like a shepherd dog just herds sheep. Like, it just does that.
Most comedians will never be booed by 4,000 people. And most of them that had been early on, you said 6 months to a year, you're in on this shit. Like, that would make everyone stop. It would make everybody be like, all right, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to feel that again.
Yes.
I don't want to feel that again.
Yeah, where I was like, okay, this is what happened. I can change this. I learned from it. I took it as a learning experience. And I think that's why I've been able to, I was watching this TED talk about why people make it or break through. And it's not always talent. It's this thing called grit. Grit is more valuable than all the intangibles. It's just the perseverance to keep going and refining and get better. And when most people would drop out because it doesn't feel good, to learn from that.
Welcome, change, hustle, all of it.
Yeah, it's all data. It's not something telling you to stop or whatever. I mean, everyone's different, but yeah, I always took it as a learning experience. But the funny part of it, which is why I called my first special this title, is because on the car ride home, like my dad was so happy. He thought that the horse had been broken, right?
Oh, he thought this is the last time my son's doing this shit. Yeah.
It's almost like his prayers were answered. It's almost like he probably started the booze. I never thought about this until now.
Could you imagine?
Oh my God. Just to get it going. It's like throwing a cigarette butt in a dry forest. Boo. I know it wasn't my dad, but how funny would it be? So it's completely silent on the car ride home because everyone's just like, what the fuck happened? And everyone's so embarrassed.
Who's everyone? It's not just your dad?
No, it's my dad. Well, I drove separately, so I hear the story from my brother. So it's my brother, my cousin Nilo.
Oh, you're
my
not mom. In the car. With
I'm not
your
in
dad.
The car.
Oh, so this is unfiltered. This is
unfiltered. It's unfiltered, raw Muhammad. So, you know, no one's talking for 20 minutes. And then he goes, well, there's no business like show business. And I can't hate. That is brilliant.
That is a great line.
The comic in me has got to give it up. Like, you can't be mad at that.
No, you can't.
The timing, the execution, the phrase.
The car. Yeah,
I know where I get it from now.
It's so great. So well.
And the well just means the gun is cocked.
Here it comes.
He's got it in the chamber. Well. There's no...
shit, that is so good.
And so that was just such a harrowing thing that I never let my parents come to a show. I just kept it separate. And I was always looking for this... in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'll have them come out when I do the Tonight Show or something. And maybe I will. Because that's like a thing. It's an easier thing. I've done two late nights now. I might want to just, even though late night doesn't move the needle anymore.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I know. This is bigger than late night.
For
real.
I
swear to God, mm-hmm. This will do better for getting views on my special than me doing stand up on Corden or Tonight Show, or it doesn't matter anymore.
That's mind blowing.
It's mind blowing. But I might want to try to do the Tonight Show just as a throwback and kind of a celebration and the things turned out okay. Put a suit on. Fly my parents out. That might be fun to do, just to kind of close the chapter on that. I've always thought about doing that.
That's nice.
But I got busy with all this other Hollywood stuff. Like, I had this writing job, and then I was trying to do this special, and I was still in turmoil over about... That was so bad. Them seeing me and them being so opposed to my comedy, and that experience was so shit that in my mind, for them to see me... The next time I wanted them to see me, I wanted it to be so exponentially great. So I've been waiting. I've been trying to build that moment.
What about a nice main room show at the store?
I could do that. I can do that.
Like, the more you wait, we just talked about death for fucking an hour, you know? You never
this
know.
Is kind of a breakthrough. Like, I was stuck in that routine and programming and thinking like I'm 20 because I've just been saying the same shit. But I can't. I need to do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna find what
a
that
main
thing
room
is.
Comedy store sold out show would be amazing. They come out and that room is such a great room. You know, when you see it, when the 50th anniversary, I thought they did such a great job with the Buddy Rich Band up there, where you could see what it used to be like and the entertainment in that building before we started telling dick jokes in there and stuff. I thought it was pretty wild. It's just a classic venue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be cool. Show them the name on the wall.
Hell yeah.
And they could see how...
That's etched. That's history.
That's history.
You are part of comedy history. And you could show them that. Look, the Tonight Show's cool. I know because your dad probably resonates with him a little bit from back in the day and all that. But your name on a building where you worked your ass off to get in there. And then you go in and do a show in that main room and kill like you always do. They would probably love that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's easy to do now. maybe I can work on this night show thing. And but like in the here and now, when they are in LA, I can bring them to the main room, and that would be fun.
Yeah.
But I definitely need to get on writing that wrong, at least for me, to close that chapter.
Do it. First of all, thank you for coming here and doing this. This was fucking really great. I also learned a lot. I didn't know. It's the first time I've talked to someone about other cultures and their sort of,
procedures and process of death
and stuff. All right. I told you before we recorded, this is your first time here. So advice you would give to your 16-year-old self now?
It's a journey. It's a journey, and also don't be an island. Collaborate, have friends, come up together. Don't, even if you like what you're doing, you think what you're doing is great, it's more important to have a knit crew and friends and come up together. Don't isolate yourself.
Great, that's great. And don't start with the Afghan material, bro.
And don't start with the Afghan. You slide that in midway. Never open with what you are.
Yeah, what you are. One more time, plug and promote whatever you'd like, please.
The special, it's called Hat Trick. It's on my YouTube, so youtube.com/FahimAnwar. And just my socials, Instagram, @FahimAnwar, Twitter, @FahimAnwar. TikTok for some Gen Zers, Fahimanwar comedy. I couldn't get that one. And just catch me live. I mean, we do stand-up. We love seeing the people when they come out. Comedy Store, or when I hit the road this fall.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thank you, man.
And as always, thank you guys. Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.